This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to part two of this special episode of NBA Team Podcast on Place to Be Nation. And I am joined by Adam Murray again.
Part two, sequel to the sequel.
Well, do you like when they do like that final installment and then they have like part one and part two of the final installment? Like, I was actually just watching the Hunger Games one, Mockingjay, and they had that was part one of the Mockingjay, and then they have part two. You know, and then they're doing the same thing, I believe, with the Avengers, which is their next movie, Infinity War, and they're going to split that into two. It's Twilight, they did the same thing. Like, do you like that? Like, they trying to, like, grapple for money? Or, here's why I ask that. Because the people who love the stories, they like it because they're able to explore more parts of the story because you can split them into two movies.
It's not really, they don't find natural points to do it. They're just like, oh, let's just cut it right here. There's no, it's like, well, you made a four-hour movie, and people can't take four-hour movies, so okay, now you gotta split it up.
Like, do you think, this is crazy to say, but do you think there's something kind of classical in the way that Star Wars and Lord of the Rings did it, where it's like, this is the last one, and, well, Lord of the Rings had The Hobbit, but that was a prequel, but The Return of the King, I mean, it was 3.5 hours long, and I'm not a Lord of the Rings fan, but at least it was over. You know, at least you knew, okay, this is the end of this. You know, Return of the Jedi, okay, this is the end of the Vader trilogy,
Yeah, but then, it's just a cash grab, which is...
But does that hurt the integrity of the series as time goes by? Because, you got to look at the big picture of it, and you watch, like, Hunger Games, and there's four movies. Like, could it have been better if you just made three,
No, because people forget about it. Nobody even cares anymore. Nobody's talking about... Twilight Part 4, Part 2, whatever.
I prefer Part 4 Twilight to Part 2 Twilight.
It was just like, well, everyone already read the book, so those who like the movie read the book, and like, well, they forget about that was two movies.
Yeah, but everything is so, like, the book to movie transition, it's so much more, like, stabilized than it was in the past, like, especially young adult novels. It seems like the young adult novels, like The Maze Runner, is another one. Divergent, you know what that one is? Like, they seem like... It seems like... It's almost like the books are being published with the vehicle to make a movie out of it. To create a continuing series so that, like you said, a cash grab, so that you can continue to make more installments. Game of Thrones, they have that situation with George R.R. Martin where it's almost like the stories are catching up to the books and now he's got to write more books for the movies,
Yeah, but it's just like, is it adding more content to it? No, it's just like...
But you don't want to add content that might be compromised because of the fact that there's now movies involved. I think Marvel's been having a problem with that for quite a long time since the movies started hitting big. Now they're doing things to pattern themselves after the movie tie-ins rather than just trying to tell a good story.
I don't know. All I know is I don't hear many people going, oh, man... That extra half hour was totally necessary. everyone's just like, this movie's too long, why can't movies be shorter, and why does everything have to be superhero movies now?
We'll get off of the superheroes in the in the movieplex, and we'll talk about the superheroes on the court, and I think we're going to be starting with a really good one, and that is my superhero, my hero of all heroes, and that is Mr. Unibrow himself, Anthony Davis, and the New Orleans Pelicans, because we're talking about Gone Fishing for the Western Conference, and believe it or not, the Oklahoma City Thunder did not make the playoffs. It was the New Orleans Pelicans that made the playoffs. How did they do it, first of all?
Just extreme luck.
Oh, come on, man. I'm trying to be fucking optimistic here.
I mean, one game left, you have to beat San Antonio, like into San Antonio, and San Antonio's fighting for the second seed.
Is that the most important regular season game in like the last 5 years? The Pelicans hosting the Spurs to get a playoff spot?
Especially when the Spurs still had something to play for.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was huge.
It felt like a playoff game, that's for damn sure.
Oh, yeah. And it was just, again, I was surprised. I'm like,
it was almost like an NCAA tournament game. It was almost like, okay, if you lose, you go to the, you know, you go to Dante's Inferno. If you win, you still go to Dante's Inferno because you got to play the Golden State Warriors, which is what the Pelicans did and got swept. They had a really thrilling game three, which they should have won, but because Monty Williams is a fucking moron, they lost. What went – okay, you talked about things that went right for the Pelicans, all kind of happenstance, I guess. What went wrong for the Pelicans in particular that kind of put them in that position to be the last team in the West?
Nothing went wrong. This is the furthest they've ever gone in their history. So, you know, it's a big step for them to actually make it.
But you can't give them too much credit for getting that far because they could have done better. Like, that's not the best they could have done.
Could they really have done better?
Yes.
They had one season where the entire team hasn't been injured.
With Reek, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they were healthy and, you know, if Tyreke Evans had actually played his best games continuously instead of just only popping in every now and then, if Eric Gordon would pretend to say that he's hurt all the time, if Anthony Davis didn't have as many injuries as he's had the past two seasons, yes, they would have had better seasons.
You know, they haven't had one season, like, ever with that team just being, because that was like, oh, here's our young team. We got all these young guards. Now they're not young anymore. Mm-hmm. Now they're all in their prime, and you can't say they're young and just the injuries are piling up. So the fact, you know, they didn't blow it as everyone expected them to.
What did you think of the firing of Monty Williams?
He had done nothing. He'd taken the team as far as he could.
But did you think there was some – like, there was that rumor on Twitter that Adrian Wojnarowski for Yahoo put out that if they had gotten word that from Demps and Monty Williams that if they had missed the playoffs, that Demps and Monty would have been fired. Well, they made the playoffs, and then Monty got fired anyway, which meant that Dell kind of won the front office battle. Was there anything sinister about that, or did you think it was deserved?
No, it was one of those things like, okay, you made it, but then you sort of embarrassed yourself in the playoffs.
So if they win game three, Monty Williams keeps his job?
He might have, or if they played a little more competitive in the other games.
The one where Curry hit the corner three out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere. It was an offensive rebound by Maurice Bates after he missed the first one. But how he even got open the second time, I don't even know. I don't even know if he was open. He just kind of hurled it in the air like a freaking
Well, how did space get open? Like, you saw, he was the only one who was rebounding. Like, it all, they were just all standing there.
Well, that's why they lost. They gave up, like six offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter, which is absolutely unacceptable. That's hustle.
That was the thing. It's like, well, you made it into it, but then you showed why you shouldn't be in the playoffs, because you got embarrassed.
They did get embarrassed. I can gladly admit that, losing to a really great Golden State Warriors team. Here's their free agency kind of outlook. Omer Sheik is on the market. All the other ones they're terrible, terrible bench players that I hope I never see again. Alexis Ajinka, Luke Babbitt, Jimmer Fredette, Darius Miller, Dante Cunningham. Fucking goodbye, okay? Restricted free agents are Norris Cole at $3 million with his qualifying offer, and then there's Jeff Withey, or as Shaq calls him, Jeff Whitey, at $1.147 million. And then Eric freaking Gordon has a $15 million player option. Would you think he's going to opt out of that?
Nope, he is...
Fucker.
He is content with that because there's no way he's getting close to that in the market right now.
Omer Sheik, is he gone?
I think he's gone. For some reason, apparently I was more high on him than most people down there were.
Well, they were first in rebounding. Their shot blocking was improved, you know, because you had the combination of Davis and Sheik. And the one thing that Sheik did provide them is that it allowed Davis to play power forward, which is his natural position. So that helps Alvin Gentry, who's the new head coach. Now, he's not started yet because he's still an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors, coaching their offense. Once the Warriors are done with the finals, Gentry is off to New Orleans to go coach that team. He had also had head coaching stints in Phoenix and the Los Angeles Clippers and the Detroit Pistons. I love the fit. I think he's going to improve the offense immediately. He's going to revolve everything around Anthony Davis the same way he did with Amari Stoudemire in Phoenix. What do you see there?
I don't know. I wanted to be excited for it, but I kind of remember how he sort of wore out his welcome at all three stops.
Because the owners kind of gave up on him because they didn't add any pieces. You know, I feel like New Orleans is in a position where they can add some pieces, you know. And they want to. They want to get better. It's just how much pressure is going to be on Alvin Gentry from the beginning. That's the big question.
I think there's going to be a little bit of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming they make a deal and assuming they sign somebody, like if you just let a sheet go, you let everyone go, it's like, well, okay, now we know we're taking a step back.
Give me a prediction of Anthony Davis's statistics, point, rebound, and block-wise in about 2 years.
Well, if I were to channel you, you'd probably go, like, oh, 40, 20, 10. But no, there's no way you shouldn't be an easy...
Like 26 and 11?
You know, yeah.
Level?
Yeah, it should be 25 and 10 easily.
I think he might be the first player, and I don't even remember how long, to lead the league in points and rebounds in the same season.
It could happen, but then, again, he could just get injured and we'll be all, he's now Dwight Howard.
Why did you have to do that?
Because injuries could come out of nowhere.
That's true. He's on cap, but he's going to be a restricted free agent at the end of 2016. There's already rumors out there that once July 1st comes, they're going to do for him what Cleveland did with Kyrie Irving. They're going to offer him like supermax money. They're going to offer him something in the neighborhood, because the thing is, they have these extensions that are also incentive driven based on whether you make first team all NBA, All-Star game, or if you win league MVP within a certain time frame. So with incentives and also percentage of the cap that you could take up, Anthony Davis might get basically a $30 million salary on his extension. Would he be dumb enough to turn that down?
I heard he was going to sign it.
Okay, good.
There's like the New Orleans ready to offer. He's like, oh, sure. Yeah, I want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So why not be that guy?
I think the question is when the opt-out comes in. Is it going to be after year three or after year four? I think that's the big question there. But he's going to probably be a Pelican for a long time. And I think everybody in New Orleans is happy about that, even though there were some things about the team that didn't make them that happy. They were 19th in threes. They were 19th in free throws made. Their bench sucked.
That was the problem is you're – you know, okay, Eric Gordon's out. All right, here comes Norris Cole. Who, you know, you like Norris Cole for what he was.
He provided some kind of a boost for them. Now, is he worth $3 million? I don't think so.
No, he isn't. But then, you know, when you saw, you know, your major bench signing for Jimmer Fredette, it's like, well, you know, we hope our team doesn't get injured. Oh, it's week one. They're already all injured.
Their three-point field goal percentage was good. They had Ryan freaking Anderson, who's probably, like, one of the best – like, the original stretch four, or, like, one of the best stretch fours that I could think of in the NBA, like, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But they never took threes. Like, Monty Williams would just not take threes. He was, like, allergic to them. They didn't start taking threes until they played the Golden State Warriors, of all things. You know, like right at the very end of the season, they started actually firing away from the 3-point line. They were also 28th in possessions. In terms of possessions, they were the slowest team in the whole playoffs. And that includes all the Eastern Conference teams that played slow. That is going to definitely change under Gentry. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be a much faster team, which, eek, I don't know. That's a very, very brittle team, and you're going to run them.
Yeah, but the thing, though, is that, you know, they ran the Warriors a lot, but their bench wasn't – their bench was deep, but they didn't play – they didn't – they played their starters a lot. You know, it was kind of – you know, maybe I'm lying there. Maybe it was more like in the vein of, like, of the bottom part of the league. But it seemed to me like the starters were comfortable, you know, playing at a fast pace in the first three quarters of the game, and then they would sit them in the fourth quarter when they would blow people out. I don't think the Pelicans are going to be in that position where they can blow teams out in the first three quarters. So maybe they are going to rely on their starters more, but you challenge that? You don't think they'll be able to do it?
I don't do it because the starters have shown, you know, they're not reliable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a lot of people sort of think that Tyreek has peaked. He's going to give you what he's giving you.
I think Tyreek is past prime. I think they need to move him, to be honest with you.
So what do they do? Who do they move him for? What do you get for a Tyreek Evans?
You trade him back to the Kings for Rudy Gay. I can hear you secretly laughing.
Okay.
That's just a throw-in. I have no idea. I don't know. DeMar DeRozan? I mean...
And so you can get somebody else to just be similar who's like, eh. Mm-hmm. Oh, you trade for Lance Stevenson?
Hmm. I don't know about that one.
Made you think, though.
Well, I like Lance. I'm a Lance guy. I don't know. Now you got me all squandered about the fucking Pelicans. We got to move on. The next team we're going to be talking about in the Western Conference, and that was the 7-seeded Dallas Mavericks at 50-32. This is just, I'll let you try to explain what happened with the Dallas Mavericks.
They were a team that was a tight system, and then once you get a little, you know, thread in the system or a little rock in the washing machine, it just threw them off. Mm-hmm. And just, they got derailed.
Did they kill themselves with that Rondo deal?
No, because who would have thought it would have played out that way?
Like, we thought it was a steal at first. Most people did.
Everybody did. Just, you know, who thought you'd quit in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, it was one of those, him and Monta couldn't play together. And, you know, the funny thing is, you forget about, there were talks, remember when he was back in Golden State, him and Curry couldn't play together. Mm-hmm. Monta seems to have issues.
They had that soundbite of Monta saying, I don't think Curry's going to be a good fit here. It's like, no, Monta, I don't think you're a good fit here.
So, yeah, it's a very fragile situation with...
Now, Monty turned it around in Dallas. You know, he was on, like I keep saying, his best basketball behavior. Played as hard as he could. Now he's got a player option at about $9 million. I think he's going to opt out of it. But what's he going to get on the open market?
I don't think there's going to be much of an open market for him, but...
So you think he'll take the $9
million? No, he'll opt out just for a longer deal with Dallas. Mm-hmm. It's a good fit where he is right now.
I think he'd be dumb to leave. I agree.
He'd be happy. And the funny thing is, if they drafted like my boy Tyus Jones there, that's a nice fit.
Mr. Apple Valley, Minnesota.
You know, if that's, you get him in there, bam, their back is good. And, you know, Chandler Parsons gets injured. Sort of takes your steam out. And, you know, Dirk's getting older. So, all right, you need to replace him. And
their unrestricted free agency is crazy. They've got
all team.
Rondo's gone, period. Tyson Chandler, who knows? He might take less. We don't know yet. Charlie Villanueva and Richard Jefferson were basically rentals, and I doubt they'll be back. Amari Stoudemire, whatever. J.J. Barea might come back because I think he's one of those Cuban favorites, if you will. Not like actual like Cuban from Cuba. I mean, Mark, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And then you got your player options for Monte Ellis, which he'll likely opt out of. Al-Farouq Aminu, who's got $1.1 million, and he played well in the playoffs, so I bet he'll go out and seek more than that. And then Raymond Felton has a player option at $4.5 million. So
he's not taking that.
unless they can find a way to buy him out. Who knows? Their only restricted free agent is Bernard James, one of their big men. And then another big man who they got in the Rondo deal that they barely played, Dwight Powell, has a team option. So who knows with that. Your mainstays are Chandler Parsons, who suffered a knee injury going into the playoffs against the Rockets. Dirk Nowitzki, who has an option coming up, but he's at a very low price now at about $8 million. Gail McHale, who I think is like a backup point guard, right?
And I think he's already gone.
Oh, he might be gone already. That's what I was saying. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And then there's Devin Harris. So there's going to be changes. For the third or fourth year in a row, we're going to see sweeping changes on Dallas's roster since they won the championship. At what point, Adam, is there going to be some kind of stability here with Mark Cuban where he says, you know, I'm going to create a central cast here, and this is what it's going to be?
Well, they couldn't have a central cast when you have an aging all-star as your centerpiece.
Was the 2011 title team even a central cast? Like, it wasn't that kind of a makeshift team?
In the end, it kind of looked like one.
They had gotten Tyson from Charlotte, and they had gotten J.J. Barea had been there for a few years. Sean Marion, I think they had just gotten the year before. And Brendan Haywood, they had just picked up. You know, that team was a little bit of a makeshift, too. I guess this is just the way Cuban's built. He likes to kind of, like, pick up the pieces, I guess you could say.
Yeah, just sort of get as he goes. And, you know, show this year by getting Amare and making a run at Josh Smith and, you know, Villanueva and all the other assorted garbage.
Their offense was really good. Their defense was pitiful.
Well, yeah, because that's because they're just getting old. Mm-hmm. There's not much, you know. Obviously, we saw Chandler did slow down a bit.
You know, that's the funny thing about Chandler is that, you know, he's one of the best shot blockers and rebounders in the league. But they were Let me read this here. I got it right in front of me. Hold on just a second. Here we go. They were 20th in blocks and 23rd in rebounding. That does not sound like a good rebounding team. So
no, not really. There. It just, like I said, just the team's a step slower, a little smaller, and
So does that mean that letting Tyson Chandler go might be viable because you were a bad rebounding team with him anyway?
Depends how much money he wants. And at $10 million a year, is that justifiable for declining numbers and slow, creaky high school knees?
Their bench was good. I think that's one part that they need to try to keep. You know, I think they struck out on letting a few players go, maybe like a Corey Brewer. You remember when they had Corey Brewer?
Well, what hurt them, oddly enough, was not Harrison Barnes, Brandon Wright.
Mm-hmm. And letting Vince Carter walk in free agency to Memphis.
You know, having Brandon Wright go, who was a little efficient there, then, you know, to Boston, to Phoenix, that really hurt their bench, which I didn't think would be. And the same thing with Jay Crowder.
Well, he was a starter, but he was kind of like the worst starter. But he was able to provide more because nobody expected much out of him. So he could go in there with maximum effort. And, you know, he got moved around and he didn't give as much effort as he did because he kind of – I felt – players do that a lot. When they get moved twice in one season, they feel like they start losing their value and they don't play as hard, you know?
Pretty much, yeah. That's a fair assessment.
And – You know, what do they need, though? Like, do they need rebounding? They need defense. They're going to need a point guard now that Rondo's on the outs.
Point guard or a shooting guard. Either you move Monta to point and get a two, or you get Apple Valley.
We talk about Tyus Jones at Duke, who won the most outstanding player award at the NCAA tournament.
Perfect fit.
Adam Murray watched him when he was calling a high school game. He thought he was terrific, so... You know, that was at the high school level, obviously, but he stepped up big for Duke. That's just one of the point guards that, you know, you kind of hit it there. We'll talk about that in the draft, but they have like a late pick there. And they might be able to find one of those guys like DeLon Wright, Tyus Jones, Jerry and Grant. One of those guys might fall to Dallas. So, I don't know if Cuban is that trustworthy of a really, really young point guard like that. But I think at this point he has no choice.
Well, don't forget, like 2 years ago, they had the 13th pick, traded down the 16th pick, then traded down the 20th pick because they needed to save money.
Yes.
So, you know, they wound up with Shane Larkin, who they dumped off to New York, who then...
And remember, they needed a point guard like in 2008 or 2009, they took Roddy Bobois.
Yeah, because it is, well, we're up against the cap. We just need to be cheap. So, you know, again, time and time shows, trying to cost cut is not your, doesn't really help you in the end. And here they are now with the same issues.
The Dallas Mavericks lost in 5 games in the first round of the playoffs to the Houston Rockets. This team lost in 5 games also in the first round, but I think people were a little higher on them going into the playoffs than Dallas, and that was the Portland Trailblazers. The problem with Portland is that they ran into a slew of injuries right before the playoffs began.
I was not in Portland.
But, you know, some people make the case that with Wesley Matthews, they could have vied for a championship.
They could have, and, you know, getting a Flalo was needed. It's just, you know, Lillard, I thought, regressed this year.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, like, I thought he became a little more selfish in his play.
Well, do you think that was forced on him because of Matthews' injury? He kind of felt like he had to do more? Even though he could have been a point guard?
Not if, you know, it was sort of like he's trying to take away the team from Aldridge.
That's so you think there's a chemistry, there's like a chemistry issue.
Not a chemistry issue, it's sort of like, look, it's my turn now, I'm going to be the guy, I'm going to start Russell Westbrooking through the wall now, and it's just my team. And like I saw a lot more bad decisions.
Yeah. Well, you and I have talked about this, and I think that's interesting. Like, there's a difference between two guards, kind of like Stephon Marbury and Allen Iverson were in the 90s and in the early 2000s, and point guards who have the natural ability to score, but they're point guards first. You know, and I think that Damian Lillard, I think he toes that line sometimes. I think there are points where he is a good point guard you know, and he tries to run the team like a point guard, and then he has those times, like you say, where he goes into Iverson mode.
Yeah, and just that's not a good look for him.
Yeah, and just because you're feeding the ball to one guy, LaMarcus Aldridge, who had another great year, got some MVP votes, just because you feed it to one guy inside and then you don't feed it to everybody else, that doesn't mean you share the ball. That means you share the ball with one guy.
Yeah.
That's kind of like borderline selfish instead of just outright selfish. It's almost like Shaq and Kobe, you know?
Yeah, kind of to an extent, but it's just like, you know, you hear like Robin Lopez had a quietly solid year, but nobody says that because,
yeah,
you know, nobody's passing to him. And
9 points, 7 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks, which, and he's also an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of – this team has a lot of trouble ahead.
Well, here's their problem. Their unrestricted free agency, LaMarcus Aldridge, Wesley Matthews, and Robin Lopez. And remember, you also have a big extension coming up in about a year or next year for Damian Lillard, and Nicholas Batum's contract expires at the end of 2016. There's just absolutely no way you can keep all five on the cap. So someone's going to have to go, whether it's Aldridge, Lopez, or Matthews. Which one goes?
Lopez will be the easiest to go, but I could see somebody making a play for Matthews.
I think Aldridge is gone. I think he's going to go to Dallas.
You think he's going to go to Dallas or San Antonio, and somebody's going to –
I think Dallas is going to do everything they can to get him. They struck out with Darren Williams about 4 years ago. They struck out with Dwight Howard about 2 years ago, and I feel like they really, really want to go after him.
They're going to send the boat. Yes. Everything.
Yeah, back up the truck. Yeah, I do. And he deserves it. You know, I just hope with LaMarcus, because remember, he got drafted in 2006. He's not a puppy dog. You know, he's been around for a long time. He's suffered. He hasn't had that many injury riddled seasons, but he did have the broken thumb and he played through it. But with Aldridge, do you think his best days have already, we've already seen them?
I think we're seeing them now. Mm-hmm. We're sort of at the tail end of the prime.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, he's kind of like got a Garnett type of game where it's really mid-range shooting and being able to use his footwork.
Well, yeah, and then eventually it's going to slow. Mm-hmm. He'll slow down a step, and then his shot's going to go back another 2 feet. And then it'll just be fully Garnett and start shooting college threes.
Aaron Aflalo's got a player option. I think he's going to use it. Do you think he was valuable for Portland for the time he was there?
No.
No?
No, he's only valuable because he was a convenient replacement for Matthews. But I said from the get-go they should have gotten Green. Green would have been a better fit on that team than Aflalo was, and that was sort of like a panic move.
Let's say hypothetically everyone in Portland stays, but what do they need? What do they need to help them out? They haven't gotten to the conference finals yet. I don't think people are expecting them to get to the conference finals, but they want to get better. What is it that they need to do?
They need a 3-point shooter, just a straight, not a stretch four, but just they don't have anybody from the bench who's going to be like a Lou Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Who's there? They have no, who's their, you know, who's their sixth man? Ray McCallum?
Who are you talking about?
Who's Portland's sixth man?
Oh, you talk about C.J. McCollum.
C.J. McCollum. I was, yeah.
McCollum's in Sacramento.
He's a the kid from Liberty.
Lehigh. McCollum had a great game in the elimination game against the Grizzlies. I think he had, 30 points? He's weird. He's kind of like Isaiah Thomas. He's like a very small scoring point guard. He's almost like Damian Lillard. 0.5, if that makes any sense.
Well, that's the thing is they're like, oh, we hit gold once. We need to try to find the same exact player again.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they didn't really need to draft him as high as they did.
Did you see baby steps out of Myers Leonard?
No.
He became a really good 3-point shooter as a big man, which is valuable.
Yeah, but he's done nothing else.
That's true.
A stretch five is just a hole on defense. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're, you have a stretch five, that's great, but what do you, you're now playing 4-on-5 on the other end because they're just going to dump it to their big guy easily. Because he's not covering them.
I don't understand why they moved Will Barton for Aflalo, because I think that's what they needed. They needed a good, aggressive small forward. I think they need a three-man. I mean, anytime you hear aggressive small forward, you think, like, Durant, James, because they're the best ones. But they're not going to find that. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe a guy like a Greg Monroe who can get away with playing small forward sometimes. Maybe someone like him might be a decent fit. You know, I'm not saying Monroe himself. I'm saying like a player that's kind of similar to his frame, you know. But the problem is, Adam, with Aldridge being up in the air, Matthews and Lopez being up in the air, it's hard to really say what Portland's going to do, because if one of those guys departs, that leaves a gaping hole that they have to fill. So it's hard to say what they're going to do.
Exactly. It's like, well, if they all came back, you need like a Sam Decker.
Yeah.
Just sort of somebody who can patchwork anywhere.
Yeah, it's like Sting said to the NWO. He said, the only thing that's sure about Sting is nothing's for sure. You know, and that's the feeling with the Portland Trailblazers. Nothing's for sure now. You know, the only thing that was for sure is that they're not going to make the NBA Finals. It's just a team that's not built for the NBA Finals. You know, they're built to be a good regular season team. And then in the playoffs, that's it.
Well, in the playoffs, everybody steps up their game. Well, what do you guys have? Well, Miles Leonard's now shooting threes. Good for you.
Are you pretending to be me?
That's the big improvement. We got it.
I don't sound that masculine, dude. You gotta bring your voice higher than that, but I don't think there's even possible you can do that right now.
You know, the team is they're the fifth seed. Yeah, they're built to make it a 4 or 5 seed. That's it.
Okay, this is a shocker, but the next team we're talking about is the San Antonio Spurs. You can go from there. I know you love talking about the Spurs.
Spurs, well, what are they doing? Their team is now super old.
They were old this year. Like, last year, they weren't that old. This year, they are.
This year, we're waiting for them. It was just like, okay, they're going to turn it on. They're now going to go 10-0. They're now going to start sweeping people, and they just never did it.
It's always dangerous when you do that flip the switch thing. You know, the only ones that are able to get away with that are the superstar teams, like, you know, LeBron, Kevin Durant, the Lakers when they had Shaq and Kobe. Even the Bulls had, under Michael and Scotty, they had some moments where they would kind of like get lazy and then it would happen. You know, the Spurs, it almost did at the end of the season. They had like a long winning streak and then they lost to the Pelicans. It dropped into the sixth seed. They wound up having to play a really good LA Clipper team and they lost in an epic 7-game series. Was just because of the fact that they lost in the first round versus winning in the finals and getting to the finals like they had the previous 2 years. Does that mean that they had a much worse season than they did last year? Because I don't think they really did. I thought like it was kind of the same.
I wouldn't say it was a much worse season. It was just sort of because they sort of were hungover. Mm-hmm. That championship. You know, there's no way, like I said, they should be middling in the 6, 7, 8 range the entire, the whole year.
Does an older person have a hangover longer or do a younger person have hangover longer?
That'll be the old people.
So your hangovers don't last as long as when you were younger?
When you were a kid, you would just go out drinking for 4 nights in a row. You'd wake up and go back drinking. There was no hangover. The cure to hangovers, let's go out and party some more. Now it's just like, oh, my Saturday's ruined.
What you're saying is that, that's what I'm saying, is that when you're older, do you have more, like the hangover's worse?
The hangovers were like, it's a little worse. Like, they just didn't, they were just content to be like, you know, they try to play that. Well, we can win on the road. We could be that any team.
It's harder to push. It is, you know.
They just like, well, you know, they put all their energy in last year and just, they were just missing that gear.
Is Tim Duncan ever going to be a bad player? Ever? At any point in his career before he leaves? Like, even a mediocre player?
No, because he's just efficient. He can't be mediocre because he didn't take stupid shots. He's not trying to play hero ball. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's the difference between him and 90% of the NBA is everyone's like, oh, look at me. I'm going to hit the fadeaway three for the game. He's just like, no. If I can't hit the layup, I'll pass it away.
Can I make a case that as of right now, Tony Parker's a mediocre player?
He had regressed
mightily since 2013.
He was our top 4 point guards.
2013, he was awesome. Like, he was the go-to guy for San Antonio. When he hurt his hammy, the Spurs suffered and lost the finals. You know, last year he played okay. But remember, there were stretches where they played without Parker and still won a playoff series. This one, he played most of it. And I am so tired of hearing the excuse that Parker was hurt this, Parker was hurt that. I think Tony Parker's just done, to be honest with you. Just because he's in his early 30s and Duncan and Ginobili are in their late 30s doesn't mean that Parker's better. Because Parker started when he was 19 years old, you know?
Yeah, he came in a lot younger. And
mm-hmm. He was in the league before Ginobili was.
There's a lot of mileage on those tires, and
he's so small. Like, I mean, he has to rely on that. He always had to rely on that quickness and that off the dribble penetration. That was his thing, and I think he's definitely lost ground on that. We have to agree unanimously the best player on the team is Kawhi Leonard, right?
It's not Matt Bonner.
Now I'm
okay. Sure. It's Kawhi Leonard. Okay.
No, you had me thinking. Maybe it was Aaron Baines. Maybe it was Jeff Ayers. Maybe it was Corey Joseph, who's a restricted free agent on the team. You see him coming back?
Nope.
No, not at 3.2 qualifying offer because he was a first round pick. I don't think that's gonna.
Well, he was an American first round pick. Mm-hmm. They didn't take the first Euro available.
Well, he was from Texas. You know, so he's actually from Canada, so he is an international. Like, you remember when they had all the flags for the Spurs when they won the title because they had all that international team? He had the Canadian flag.
Yeah, they tried to cheat that. Like, well, we can get a Canadian guy. He's still international now. Really provide, you know, this team needs to make a major overhaul.
What do Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili do? And what should they do?
They got one more year left in them.
Manu Ginobili has 1 year left in him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Half a season.
Not playing, you know, superstar 40 minutes a game, but he has one more year off the bench.
Ginobili has already said that he's not going to play for Argentina at Eurobasket in the summer. Shockingly, we already talked about him, but Dirk Nowitzki is for Germany. Here's what I think Ginobili should do. And he should do what Ray Allen was thinking about doing but didn't. He should take half the season off and then come back in January.
He should, but, you know, again, why can't he just play 15, 20 minutes a game?
Well, they already do that with him. You know,
no, he's not playing 15. His minutes are still up there on days.
Yeah, but they had the lowest percentage among starters' minutes in the league, San Antonio. And the other one, like, that's because I took back that thing about the starters when I was talking about Gentry. The other one is the Golden State Warriors. You know, they're able to go into their bench a lot more than other teams do because they're so deep. The Spurs bench isn't, like, super talented. I think the Clippers kind of exposed that. But their team play is so solid because of the multiple action offense that they use and Popovich being such a great coach.
Well, the problem is that they got exposed because their starters are now slowing down, and their defense is solely built on specialists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need the three guy. Okay, here comes Bellinelli. We need this guy. You know, we need the D guy. We need this. You know, it wasn't just – they didn't have players. They only had specialists and situational substitutions.
Yeah, I think Duncan and Ginobili are sort of in the circle, the inner circle. Like, if they leave, it's only because they're retiring. I don't see them leaving for another team. Here's R.C. Buford, the GM of the Spurs' situation. Here's your main free agents that really might bolt if they get the right offer. You got Kawhi Leonard as a restricted free agent. That's a max guy, okay? Finals MVP in 2014, you got to lock him up. Danny Green, who's a good defensive small forward, who's a great and also a great three-point shooter. And Marco Bellinelli, who provided some very good points off the bench. I think Danny Green's going to leave, and I think he's going to get overpaid.
Somebody's going to, yeah, because he's a hot name.
He's
right
valuable.
Now.
He's a valuable player.
Yeah, but, you know, more and more 3-and-D guys are going to become more and more common in the next few years.
What about Bellinelli?
Bellinelli will stay.
Okay.
He seems to be happy there.
Yeah. Well, what's their need? They need a power forward to back up Duncan. Do they need a shooting guard in case Green leaves?
Well, right now they need more bodies because they just need overall talent, I think.
Athleticism?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the team has become very...
sluggish. sluggish, a little bit sluggish. I think, well, I don't want to say sluggish on offense. They're always running their offense. They're very, very good at it over the last few years. But it feels like they rely more on the technique.
They need like an – like imagine if they had a guy like an Iman Shumpert type guy.
A guy with natural abilities, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If they got somebody like him to come down and shut, you know, be that shutdown.
That's what Kawhi Leonard is. Yeah.
Yeah, and they got another energy guy on the other end. Mm-hmm. You know,
they have the 26th pick of the draft. You think they could find that there? Or maybe a guy like Al-Farouq Aminu, who had a nice little playoff spot with the Dallas Mavericks. You know, someone like that.
No, but Aminu and Kawhi are basically the same size.
Yeah, and they play the same position.
So yeah, they're the same position. So you need a
different... Josh Smith or, you know, somebody like that.
No, for the draft, I haven't pegged with Mahamadou Jaite, Tim O'Kay, the French guard. Mm-hmm. You know, the first Euro available.
Okay.
Let's stash him because.
And they still have Deshaun Thomas from Ohio State, who they haven't played yet because he's in Europe. So, you know, they always have those guys in retainer. They did that with Gary Neal. You know, all of a sudden Gary Neal came in and he was shooting threes, you know. You got to watch out with them Spurs. They're tricky.
Well, they'll draft you, then send you to Europe to say you're an European import.
That's how it works. Who'd that have? Oh, J.J. Barea. Well, he's from Europe. He's like, no, he went to Northeastern, you fucktard. You know, he just played in Europe because he couldn't find anywhere else to go for a while. Now let's talk about the Memphis Grizzlies, who had actually the same record as the Spurs at 55-27. But because of seeding and such, they were able to jump ahead of them. They eliminated the Blazers in five games in the first round. Then in the second round, they did the impossible. They actually beat the Golden State Warriors in Golden State. Unfortunately, they weren't able to follow up on it after game three, and they lost the series in six games. Did you feel like the loss to the Warriors exposed their true weakness, which is their outside shooting?
No, because we all knew that. You know, we can't say, well, what did they do right? What did they do wrong? They were just Memphis basketball as we expected them to be.
Okay.
I don't think, has there been a team this year who has been more who we thought they were than them?
Okay, Danny Green.
Who has been more as advertised than Memphis? Like, we know their strengths. We know their weaknesses. No player is going to come out of like, wow, where did he come from?
I guess you can make an argument for the Thunder because they were so reliant on two guys, but that's because the coach is so dumb. And also because their talent is so good that you don't really have to rely on all these other guys to play. But in terms of the playoff teams, yeah, the Grizzlies are who we thought they were. They're a really good bump and grind type of team inside. They don't shoot the ball on the outside. They rely on all their motion. They run motion offense, but it's all within the three-point arc and in the mid-range. Mike Conley is a dangerous mid-range shooter. I think that's what sets him apart from a lot of the other point guards outside of maybe Chris Paul and Steph Curry is that he is a phenomenal mid-range shooter.
Yeah, that's he's not trying to play hero ball or shoot fadeaway threes.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole team is, and that's what, again, that's how we mentioned how in the conference finals how they lost. Because, well, if you're down and you're losing, you can't – they don't have a speed-up option.
Yeah. Now, the free agency this year is going to be a little – interesting. Last year, Zach Randolph was a free agent. He took a lesser deal to stay because of his age and the tread on his tires. And he had another really good year. I don't expect him to dip too much. Mike Conley's in the last year of his deal, which people laughed when they signed him to $11 million a year, like maybe 4 years ago. That looks like a bargain now. And then you got Tony Allen, who's, you know, first team. He's first team all defense. Is that what he's called? First team?
Yeah.
That's right, huh? First team all defense.
Yeah, and he is, you know, he is a...
Or is he second team all defense?
Well, he's first team.
I'll never forget when he did that in the first team all defense. Courtney Lee, who had that crazy game-winning shot against the Kings, that shouldn't have counted. Vince Carter, who actually provided a lot. You liked what he did.
Well, I said he was the best signing of the year because, you know, he just took a couple million, went there and just, you know... He's not that explosive player he was anymore, and just really, you know, was a solid bench addition.
Yeah, Beno Udrich, backup point guard, had to step in a little bit when Conley had his face crushed by the Portland Trail Blazers. Jordan Adams, who is a rookie, and Jarnell Stokes, who is a rookie. Here's where it gets interesting. Nick Lathis is a restricted free agent. I see him coming back. Your opt-out is Jeff Green at $9 million. He had a very nice stint for the Grizzlies after being traded by Boston. We'll see what he does. I think that's a coin flip. The big one is Marc Gasol, who is an unrestricted free agent. He had a great year, probably the best year of his career. What does he do there, and is he even considering leaving Memphis?
From what I read, he's not, because, you know, he's from Memphis. From, you know, he grew up there. He went to high school there. Mm-hmm. You know, he loves the city. He loves it. They're even saying he's willing to take less to stay there.
The agent's going to come in and say, Mark, that's not a good idea. get as much as you can.
Yeah,
here's the thing. How many suitors will he have on July 1st? I'd say at least three. Like, there'll be three or four calling him. Hey,
well, it'll be New York, LA, and teams just really, come on. They're not, they're just if you're going to take money, come here.
But do you think he'll leave?
No.
Okay. So the core four will stay there with Allen, Conley, Gasol, and Zach Randolph.
Yep, and they need, obviously what they need is a three-point shooter. That's it.
Yeah, but here's the problem. With Jay Jager there, and he continues to play the slow style like they're used to doing. They don't want a three-point shooter. They're stubborn. Like, maybe, sometimes people say, well, you have to draft by need because that's what your weakness is. Maybe Memphis is, like you said, is one of those teams that accepts their weaknesses, and they just exploit what they're good at. And they say, okay, we dare you to stop it. And if you do, tip of the cap.
All right, in that case, get the biggest center available. And just keep saying, we're just going to keep pounding you.
That's what I think they're going to do. They're going to get another big man. Especially if they lose – I think there is a good chance they're going to lose Kostas Koufos, who's their other free agent. I think he will get overpaid.
He's nothing special.
He isn't, but what I'm saying is that someone will see something in him, kind of like Omer Sheik. Remember when Sheik got that huge deal with Houston? And I kind of see the same thing happen with Kostas Koufos, where Mark takes the big deal for Memphis, but they don't have enough money to keep Costa. They might be able to keep Jeff Green. You're familiar with Jeff Green, so what did you see out of him in Memphis?
I thought he was good in Memphis. Everyone was like, he didn't fit. I'm like, I don't know. He just seemed to come in.
I thought he fit nicely.
Yeah.
I think Golden State just did a really good job defensively against Jeff Green. Like, I thought they made life very hard for him with Andrew Bogut and Klay Thompson to be able to score. It's always a last impression. So when you see somebody struggling at the end, you'd think, oh, he had a bad year. It's like, no, he had a really good year for Memphis, And he didn't play poorly in Boston, to my memory.
No, it was just he proved he's not a number one option. Mm-hmm. He's not a go-to guy. Okay, fine. You're not a go-to guy in Memphis. Go play your game.
The shocking part about Grizzlies is that even though they have the grit and grind tag, they were 21st in rebounding and they were 24th in block shots. You need a shot blocker. Do you think they'll go after it in the draft? A guy like maybe Robert Upshaw with Washington or Willie Cauley-Stein will be gone by then. But I'm just like as an example like there.
One of the LSU kids who have no position and are just athletic? Yeah.
Or then it may be in free agency. I'm not – I don't have too many names in front of me, But, maybe like a – say a Chris Kamen if he was available or like
– if he was one of the solid defensive guys, get a Brandon Bass.
Yeah, Omer Sheik, even though I think he'll get overpaid. Ed Davis, somebody like that.
Yeah.
Didn't Ed Davis play in Memphis already?
Yep, he got traded from Toronto to there.
But it's not like that's like a new thing. Remember Trevor Ariza played it in Houston, and then he came back. And, let me tell you, I remember Trevor Ariza when he was in Houston the first time. He sucked. He got traded to the New Orleans Hornets, and he was okay. And then he went to Washington, and he started to play better. This last time he's in Houston, he played really well, But just because you go to another team again doesn't mean you're going to be the same player. That's what I'm saying. So Ed Davis going back to Memphis ain't a shock to me, if it actually happened.
No.
You learn as the season goes along. Is Mike Conley their best player?
No, it's Gasol.
Still Gasol?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that why they were able to eliminate Portland without Mike Conley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they didn't, they were able to get by because they just, Gasol and Randolph just dominated Aldrich and
how good of an athlete is Marc Gasol? Sometimes I watch him and I'm like, he's not that impressive.
No, he's not athletic at all. Mm-hmm. He's just efficient.
Yeah, and he's got a nice hook shot.
He has a nice hook shot and he's just strong. Mm-hmm. And he has, you know, he's that old school center who can just push you around.
And Zebo's got that left hand, that fucking left hand. Like if you let him go left, if you let him go right, he's going to go left. You know, he does not get – Zebo is just – I think that's what makes him so efficient every single year. He does it his way. He's going to do it every year, and you're not going to stop it because he's not going to stop doing it. You know, if you're going to stop him, that means he's not going to do anything because he's going to do the same thing every time. He's going to go to his left hand for either a hook shot or one of those little fadeaway baby jump shots, you know.
Yeah, but he looks to be slowing down a step.
He is, and I think that's why he took less money. Even though he was reluctant at first, there was a rumor there he was going to walk away from the deal and try to go somewhere else out of spite. But he stayed there for less money, and that made the room for Marc Gasol to stay there, which I think was the whole master plan by Chris Wallace, who I think is running things now in Memphis for Robert Parra, the owner. Let's move on, and we're going to talk about another team that has had their second round struggles, or at least in general, and that was the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, we were really high on the Clippers for good reason. I thought they were going to make the NBA Finals. Did you agree?
Yeah, and I do not have any answers as to why they collapsed. Or
it looked like they were about to make the NBA Finals before you got to game 4-5 of the Western Conference Semis against the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, it was just completely unexplainable.
So strange.
Like, I don't even know, like, well, what went right with the team? I don't know. Well, what went wrong? I don't know.
It's one of those head-shaking sports fan moments. Like, I don't know how many, like, diehard Clipper fans there are out there, but anytime you hear, like, okay, Rocket series, like, you just wonder, how did that happen? Like, when you blow a 3-1 series lead, you know, like that, there's just so many things that have to go wrong at the same time. And it just seemed like it did for the LA Clippers. And, you know, it's starting to point at, like, points in history with the LA Clippers where this happens every time under Chris Paul. You know, and even Doc Rivers, you know, he's blown a 3-1 series lead before. Maybe it's just embedded in the team and they're never going to be able to overcome it.
I have no clue.
Great analysis, Adam Murray.
I have nothing to provide them because everything they did just defined logic.
And they're ready-made. Like, if you look at their needs, like, I'll just point out their needs. They need more. They need help at the bench, for sure.
They need a GM.
A GM. Well, they lost. Well, Doc Rivers is like the team president, right?
Yeah, and his major signing with Spencer Hawes was horrible.
And getting his son. In a trade.
Getting his son, who they're going to resign because who's the not Jason Terry, Crawford.
Oh, Jamal Crawford. Well, no, he has a team option. He's staying.
You think so?
Well, what are the Clippers going to do? Turn it down?
They're going to turn it down and give the money to his son.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think they still see the value in Jam. I think they'll keep him.
Yeah, but how old is he now?
He's 35 or 36. But I think there's still value there. He played well against the Spurs. It was against the Rockets that he struggled mightily. Okay.
But it's just like they have no money. They have no cap. You have to max out DeAndre Jordan because somebody will. Mm-hmm. And it's just, well, what is this team? Well, this team was built to win. There is no, you know, they need bench.
And you got to win NOW. I mean, there's just no other way out of it.
It was just completely bizarre how it all just crapped out.
They were second in points per game behind the Warriors. They were second in field goal percentage behind the Warriors. They were fifth in three-pointers made. They were 11th in three free throws made. That was kind of helped by the fact that DeAndre Jordan got hacked all the time. Block shots, they were ninth. They didn't turn the ball over a lot. They were second in that department. They were third in assists. You can thank Chris Paul for that one. Their defense was solid. Their bench was a huge gaping hole. But outside of that, they were, like, good at everything. They seemed like a team that was ready to take the next step, and then they fell on their ass.
Like, they just literally just drove off the cliff.
Against the Rockets.
And just, like, they couldn't hit a layup. They couldn't. They just, like, what is this round thing I'm playing with?
you're talking about game six. in the fourth quarter when they just
They just got like Men in Black just bloop.
Like with the little pen. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just all like that was like, again, what can you say was wrong with this team all year? Nothing, because they were dominant all year. What it's just this one utter collapse. You can't judge the season on it.
We already talked about Jamal Crawford's team option at $5.6 million. Me and Adam don't agree. I think they'll take it. He doesn't think so. Lester Hudson, who was the backup point guard when Paul got injured in the second round of the playoffs, he's at $1 million. We'll see if he stays. Your unrestricted free agent, the big one, is and literally he's big, is DeAndre Jordan. First of all, how much is he going to demand?
He's going to get a max deal.
Okay. And is he going to get it with the LA Clippers, or is his options going to be open there?
No, the Clippers will sign. They'll wait for somebody to sign him for them to...
Now, you already have two maxes already on tap with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. Are they going to be able to retain... If it's under the new cap, they might be able to, but they're going to pay a mighty luxury tax with Steve.
Yeah, but I don't think they have a problem paying it for 1 year.
That's true.
It's just a 1 year. There's, you know, owners like, oh, I'm not paying it, but I'm pretty sure he'll be like, you know what, for 1 year, I can do it.
Can I give you one more, like, fantasy move that they might make? They let Jordan walk, they take the year, and then they have that extra $20 million available for a max player in 2016. And they say, hey, you can play with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin.
Yeah, the problem is Chris Paul is now 2 years older. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul is not a youngin'.
Is Chris Paul the source of the problems with the Clippers, as well as the source of their strengths?
No, because he's not helping them.
Is he a choke artist?
No, he's not that bad.
Adam, every time they get close, he falls on his ass. Every time.
But so do most players and most teams. Everyone chokes and everyone falls on their ass unless you win the championship.
But his are so theatrical. It's like you can't even make up how bad you collapse with Chris Paul.
I don't know. James Harden made a case for that. You want a one-player collapse this year.
He literally fell on his ass.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, everyone looks bad. We just mentioned, you know, in the previous episode about the Raptors. Mm-hmm. The entire team, you know, Lowry just looked horrible, but unless you're winning the championship, every player looks like that.
Mm-hmm. I see your point there, but it feels like with Paul, it follows him. It haunts him. But the thing about it is that they get worse. Like, the suffering gets worse. Like, he had a Game 7 with the Hornets against the Spurs at home, and they lost. And then he had that 1 minute in the end of the game against the Thunder where he personally lost the game and ultimately lost the series. Then this one. And you can blame more than just Chris Paul for what happened against the Rockets, but it's just such a scarring experience that
I don't know. Yeah, but you had that one game where... The one game where Austin Rivers cost him the game by falling on his face.
Yeah, but without Austin Rivers, they probably don't beat the Spurs.
But I'm just saying, it's not just him. Mm-hmm. It's the team just had some fatal flaw.
So their biggest need is something that has nothing to do with the regular season. It's a killer instinct.
Kind of.
I mean, that's hard. You can't just like grab that. You know, like, on the market. You have to have it.
Yeah,
how do you get it, though?
You need players who just want revenge now. Like that Spurs last year. Their whole mindset was just revenge. Mm-hmm. They played full revenge ball all year round.
Oh, like Jordan when he had the ball stolen by Nick Anderson, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of a thing.
And that's what the Clippers are going to need players like, yo, did you get screwed over last year? Are you angry? Come join us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need.
But they already had to use the stretch provision when they did the Delfino deal. So, like, how much money do you have to share, you know?
They don't have anything, but they just need bench players.
Okay.
You need some angry veterans to come in and, you know, as much as we make fun of Big Baby, he was serviceable.
Yeah, I think he'll be back. He's an unrestricted free agent along with Rivers, Hidu Turkoglu, Jordan Hamilton, Dante Jones. I'm not sure about the other ones I mentioned, but I think Rivers and Davis will be back. You know?
Rivers, Davis, you know, there was word Nate Robinson wants to join them next year.
Yeah, and he took the year off. Yeah.
You know, Hidu's gone.
Yeah, he did what he could. You know, but I think he stuck around because they did need a small forward to back up Matt Barnes. So he gave him a little bit of spice. But I do think they need another small forward. I think that's a problem for them, you know.
Yeah, you know, the other rumors of Pierce wanting to go back home for his final year.
That would be a good fit, though.
Exactly. You got a nice angry player right there.
Yeah.
So, but the problem is, you know, you can say, you know, Chris Paul, well, he wilts, but again, you're in this Western Conference where you had, you know, these dynasty come after dynasty come after dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his fault he's playing against these crazy epic teams.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the West, like, the you know, for this episode we're talking about. I mean, these are some really fucking good teams. I mean, who's the, like, look at the team we talked about, like, before, the team before that one is the freaking Spurs. You know, I mean, look at, they had four teams in the West that were in front of them standing-wise, or five of them, actually. It's like, it's hard. It's hard to do, it's hard to get through that conference. You know, what the Golden State Warriors did is unprecedented in the West. I mean, that's almost impossible to do. We haven't seen that since Shaq and Kobe's Lakers, like, in the beginning of the century. You know, and you're not going to see that often, but the Clippers have to make that move. The problem is, there's cap-wise, if they re-sign Jordan, they're just not going to be in a position to add the players unless they go way over the luxury tax. You know, take
a
chance.
Well, again, if you could, you know, find some Euro players. Lester Hudson is completely underrated.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you remember, he was in Cleveland for, like, a half a year.
Yeah, he played for Eastern Washington, I believe.
No, Lester Hudson was Tennessee State or Tennessee Martin.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of Rodney Stuckey.
Rodney Stuckey, yeah.
Yeah. I know. Now, I'm sorry about that. I apologize.
Lester Hudson was a Celtics draft pick, and he was just, you know, a 6-foot, you know, 3-point shooter. And he was in China this year, and he averaged, like, 40 points in China.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, you know, he was, like, one of their, like, first-team All-China.
Yeah.
And then in Cleveland, he was, you know, he averaged like a solid minutes there, then just never, you know, he's too small to do anything. But, you know, they need, there are players out there. They just need to find him. You just can't have Doc Rivers searching for him.
Okay, we're done with the LA Clippers, but now we're going to be talking about the team that eliminated the LA Clippers and lost to the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and that is the Houston Rockets. First of all, Adam, were you surprised the Houston Rockets got to the Conference Finals?
Yeah.
I kind of was, too. Like, I thought they were going to fizzle in the second round.
We were all surprised because they should have fizzled, and really, if they didn't have Josh Smith, that was a great sign. They wouldn't have been there to begin with, and you know, just again, with who would predict the Clippers collapse and...
Yeah, well, also, getting Josh Smith and getting Corey Brewer, even though they did have to give up some draft picks to do it, getting Corey Brewer was big for them. It made that team much taller across their lineup, and then when Dwight Howard came back in the playoffs, that was a really tall team. You had Harden, you had Brewer, you had Josh Smith, you had Dwight Howard, you had Trevor Ariza, and then you had a bunch of shooters. You know, it was a really dangerous team offensively.
It was a really dangerous team, but I remember talking about the previews. We had already mentioned, like, their problem was they're on two different tiers. You have these all-stars in their peak, and then you have, like, people like Terrence Jones and Monta Ioannis.
And Kostas Papadakalou from Greece, yeah.
Yeah, and Clint Capela, who are just too young, and, well, are any of these guys going to do anything? They're too inconsistent, too young. Who is going to step up?
I think they made a mistake trading Isaiah Cannon to the Philadelphia 76ers to dump money so that they could pick up a Brewer and one other piece. I don't know. Did you like that one?
Well, Cannon wasn't really that good to begin with.
Yeah, but he was a good shooting guard. He can bomb from the three-point line. I guess because of his size. He was so small. That was one move that I criticized with the Rockets. They let Isaiah Cannon go for nothing.
Yeah, they got KJ McDaniels, who just buried on the bench.
And I think one of the other pieces involving that was Alexei Shved somehow. I don't remember how. Because he went to three teams. He was in Minnesota, then he was in Houston, and then he went to the New York and Philadelphia, and then the New York Knicks. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went all over the place. But he was part of one of those deals that involved either Isaiah Cannon or Corey Brewer. I cannot remember which one. But, yeah, I like Isaiah Cannon. That was the whole point of that whole discussion.
Well, Alexei started in Minnesota, so he had to have come over with Brewer, had to have gone to Philly with Cannon.
Yeah, and then he got moved to New York Knicks for some reason. I don't even know how.
He might have just gotten bought out and then signed. I don't know.
Yeah, but Jason Terry, even at his age, he was still pretty effective, and he was going to be the weak link of that team in the playoffs.
But he didn't have to because they stocked up. Mm-hmm. If you're just relying on Jason Terry, well, yeah, of course he's going to be your weak link. But with Brewer and Smith being content to do what he does.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's buddies with Dwight Howard, which makes me think he is definitely going to stay in Houston. I think that's a package deal.
I don't know. I don't know what his salary will be.
Smith? Oh, $6 million at best. Because I feel like on other teams he'll be seen as damaged goods.
Yeah, but
because they're watching Detroit and they say, "Don't Detroit us again, don't you do it," you know, and then he'll just say, "You know, better the devil I know than the devil I don't know. I'll just play with Dwight in Houston."
Yeah, but that's accepting a six-man rule, and you know, it's an ego thing.
You're unrestricted free agents. The aforementioned Jason Terry and Josh Smith. Also, Jeff Adrian, who I don't even know if he's there anymore. Your restricted free agent is Patrick Beverley. His qualifying offer is $1.181 million. He broke his wrist right before the season ended, so they basically had to play the entire postseason without a point guard, which turned out to really, really kill him. Do you see them trying to pony up the money at about $5 million, $7 million to keep Patrick Beverley?
No, because they're just going to draft somebody.
So you think they're going to let Beverly walk?
Why pony up $5 million for him when you could get somebody backup caliber?
He's a 3-and-D guy, too. He's one of the ultimate 3-and-D guys at a point guard position.
Yeah, but the problem is none of the other team plays D. Mm-hmm. In order to have a 3-and-D, you need somebody else to be playing the D.
Okay.
When you have Harden and, you know, Brewer, Brewer used to be, but
not anymore.
Yeah, he's sort of Josh Smith, you know.
Yeah, I didn't mention Brewer as a player option because he already used it as part of his trade to Houston. So he will be back in Houston next season.
Yeah, he said he'd stay.
Yeah, and Harden, he had a great year, but can he get better at certain things?
Yes and no. Yes, he can easily get better by saying, "I want to play defense." As opposed to just saying, you know what, I am who I am. I've sacrificed D to become the best, you know, shooter in the league. Mm-hmm. You need to be like, okay, maybe I do need to do both.
And what about the no part?
He's not old now, but he might be old enough to be set in his ways.
I feel like he is. I feel like he wants to be that, bat, you know, breakdown dribbling guard that takes back shots and likes to control the ball. I think he's become so comfortable with that in Houston that he can't get out of that mode. That's just my feeling.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He can if he wants to, but I think he's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah,
I got my beard.
And I think he's in a position where he doesn't have to, really, to be honest with you. But they do have to surround some more pieces. What do you think they need the most? I think it's glaring.
Well, they need a point guard.
There you go. They need a ball-handling point guard that doesn't turn the ball over. They were 28th in the or 29th in the league in turnovers. That's horrid for a team trying to make the playoffs.
They need someone like just an efficient point guard, like a Grievous Vasquez. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's not flashy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to win you any speed races or just, you know, come in, don't turn the ball over. Don't be a 100% liability on defense like the rest of the team.
If you're watching the finals, three ball's huge. Do you think that they go a little too far with the three ball in Houston? Do you think they need to dial it back or just stay the way they are?
Well, that was just based upon the personnel. Mm-hmm. You know, Josh Smith isn't the four. He's, you know, where you see in Terrence Jones or Monte Yunus or Clint Capella. You know, you're not going to – they just put Smith on because he was on fire. Mm-hmm. They're not going to shoot as many threes next year.
Brewer's a three-point shooter, you know? Terrence Jones can shoot threes. I remember him in Kentucky shooting threes.
He can, but he's not – that's not his first go-to thing.
Yeah, Monte Yunus, I don't remember that well. I think he was more of a post player. Clint Capella is all athlete. All he does is go inside. That's his job, to crash the boards. Papa Nicolo could shoot. You know, so they got a lot of shooters on that team outside of Howard and Clint Capella. So, and I don't think that's going to be changing anytime soon. You know, Pablo Prigioni is going to probably be back too.
You know, I don't know. He's 39 or 38.
They'd have to buy him out of his contract though, because he's got one more year.
He could just retire and just.
That's true. You know, and go play for Eurobasket in the summer and say, okay, I'm done. You know.
Yeah, it's not like you need to buy him out. You're just saying, you know what, I'm done. I'm retired.
But they definitely have to improve with the turnovers, which might be helped by having better point guards in tow, where James Harden doesn't have to handle the ball as much. That was a huge killer for them, having Harden handle the ball so much to the point that he was just turning the ball over like a waffle. 16th in points allowed, 22nd in field goal percentage, but that's because of how many threes they were taking. They shoot, they take such a high volume that a low percentage is still not bad because they make so many.
Yeah, they don't care.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's going to be wrapping up this one for the Western Conference. But it's such a loaded conference. It's the problem though, Adam, is it's going to be really hard to move up here unless one of these teams that we had just talked about takes a really serious fall.
Well, we mentioned like a lot of these teams have signing
issues,
and
Blazers,
potential.
The Mavericks, yeah.
Blazers, Mavericks, Pelicans, mm-hmm.
The Grizzlies with Marc Gasol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of them, the Grizzlies are getting older too. Mm-hmm. That's not a young team.
We're not going to talk in depth about them because we've already kind of talked about all their problems with the final series and the preview, but let's kind of just glaze by the Warriors. What do the Warriors need?
They need to win the championship, really, because I guess if they do wind up just being another LeBron statistic, mm-hmm. That's not good for them.
Like, is there a position where you say, I mean, this is like the most complete team you'll ever see. What do they really, really need?
They could use some size inside.
Yeah, just to back up Draymond Green if he because he's an unrestricted free agent. That's their big one.
Yeah, that's a big one, but he's not. They need post players.
Okay. What about Cleveland?
Cleveland just need to be healthy.
They need a doctor.
Yeah.
They need a doctor. I think they need a backup center, you know, just to help out Love and Mozgov. And
well, they got Varejao, who will be.
That's true. You know, and he can play center, so I totally blanked out on that.
The 20-minute guy.
And a backup point guard for Kyrie Irving. A good one.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really it. After that, you got Shumpert, who's a restricted free agent. You got Tristan Thompson, who's a restricted free agent at $7 million. LeBron and Kevin Love both have player options, but I don't think they're going to use them. I don't think J.R. Smith's going to opt out. So I think we're going to see the same team next year. And this team is in the NBA Finals. I think that's valuable for teams that are willing to stay for less, you know.
Yeah, but those days are over. The with the new salary cap, the let's all take bargains to play with our friends.
Is it? I think teams will still do it to this day, or players will still do it to this day.
No, but now with the new cap, they can just say, well, we can all take maxes.
The problem is, though, the agents are going to have to do their homework for 2016 because they're going to have to get a firm idea of what that number is on the luxury tax or the salary cap so that they can rescale all the percentages of what a minimum deal is, what a low bargain deal is, what a max deal is, and they're going to have to try to teach these players, look, you can make this much if you wait a year. I think that's the real intrigue with free agency, but we'll get to that when we get to that, but this finishes up the Western Conference version of our, you know, gone fishing when we talk about the eliminated playoff team. So, you know, you think we're going to be wind up doing this one again in 2016?
Oh, yeah.
Which team will not be in this discussion?
Portland.
Portland. What about the East? All of them?
We could just say half of them.
Okay.
With Miami and Indiana out this year, you got two spots are automatically gone next year.
That's true. On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Enjoy the NBA Finals, guys.